nice dinner with family and friends? Or are you like a lot of folks for whom Thanksgiving with an extended family was a little awkward? Sometimes that's due to family dynamics. Some families are just difficult. This year there's the added burden of contentious political campaign. And of course there's often someone in the family who just won't make nice even for a holiday. We may even love our difficult relatives, but that doesn't make spending the day with them any easier. See, we humans, we really long to be together, united, not estranged, not separated, not alone in our own skin, especially not separated from those with whom we share the title family. And you know, that isn't new. The folks in the 7th century before Christ longed for that kind of unity too. And the prophet Isaiah told them of a compelling vision for how things might be different from the existence that they found themselves in. See, they were threatened by their powerful neighbors, threatened with the destruction of their holy place, Jerusalem, threatened with being sent into exile, far from home. And Isaiah told them about judgment and of promise. He railed about how Jerusalem and her people were guilty of murder and rebellion and injustice and corruption. Good news, eh? But Isaiah also said that God would purify Jerusalem as metal is purified by smelting. The process would be painful, but the result? Nations would stream into Jerusalem. God would teach them all directly. God's Torah, God's instructions. They would beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into the pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. These words, this vision, is captured in a 1957 bronze at the UN in New York City. It's done by Yevgeny Viktorovich Luchesic, who is Soviet. It was donated by the Soviet Union in 1959 and depicts literally a sword being hammered into a plow. Yet despite such aspirations, Isaiah's vision has clearly not even yet come into being fully. But Isaiah wasn't forecasting tomorrow's weather. He was describing a vision. The passage begins, "The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw." Saw. What's it like to see the word of God? We toss around the word vision as if it's synonymous with plan, as if it can be quantified and measured if you've got the right metrics. Now, there's some folks out there who will tell you that if you can just decode the Bible that way, if you do it correctly, that usually means their way. And you'll be able to see the one-to-one correspondence of what prophets and visionaries saw, like Isaiah and like Jesus. The part you don't hear so much about is that for this to work, or appear to work, one must be very, very selective about what one uses. And for some reason, criticizing the misbehavior of other people is of much greater significance than beating those weapons into harm implements. Our Gospel from Matthew is also sometimes used this way, as a kind of scare tactic. You know, the question, would you be left behind? Even setting aside the fact that in our Gospel it seems that those taken are the ones subject to judgment, kind of like the firstborn of Egypt. Even setting that aside, one still wonders, where is the good news in this account? And why do we hear it as the run-up to Christmas? What we're hearing and seeing in Matthew and Isaiah is less of a weather report and more about what God's reign is like, what waiting is like. And waiting can be anxiety producing, waiting for a call, waiting for the other shoe to drop, waiting and not knowing exactly what will happen or when. You know, people don't change that much even over centuries. Isaiah's people, Matthew's people, they were waiting. And they were fearful. And the vision, the good news that they were waiting for, is that they're not forgotten. That God has not forgotten them. That God will come. And the best way of waiting is not to try to read the tea leaves and spend one's time worrying or pretend that one isn't waiting at all. The best way of waiting is to act as the vanguard, the advanced party, to live in that in-between time, like it's already the end of time, longing toward the vision of the present as already the future. Christians live in faith and hope. Faith that the God who over and over cares for his people and cares for the kind of people they are. And hope that trusts that even though we can't know the what and when of Christ's return, we can trust that he will return as promised. Meanwhile, we must keep awake, stay alert for signs, not tea leaf reading signs. Signs not so much at the end, but at the kingdom of heaven.